All right. Can you tell me who you are and some of the things you were reflecting on tonight?
So my name's Daniel Applequist. I work for Vodafone Group R&D, and I am active in the web standards community. So I am interested in how do we, in as we start to engage with kids around developing software or coding, how can we engage them to think about the web as well? So I just ran into somebody after my talk who wanted to talk about how can we create a curriculum for web development for kids for after school clubs, for instance. That's extremely exciting because it doesn't exist right now. We're not teaching our kids that the web and that the internet is a creation medium, not just a creation medium using the tools that companies give you, such as Facebook and Twitter and that sort of thing. Of course, it is a creation medium in that sense, but also a creation medium in that you can create the tools yourself. You can create services yourself. You can mash data up yourself. You can build your own apps. You can build your own web apps. You can build your own websites. That is empowering. And that's the kind of thing that I'm here to talk about.
So you also made a pledge tonight. What was your pledge that you made?
I think it was around Lego Mindstorms, but it was more of a pledge to kind of because Lego Mindstorms is also an environment that we're talking about right now, which enables you to talk to kids about and teach kids computer science concepts, because you're programming a robot. You're programming that robot in a visual environment where you put together the program using visual blocks like that represent a loop and conditionals and inputs and outputs and sensors and that kind of thing, which are all the basic building blocks that you need when you're thinking about how to write a program. But the Mindstorms environment gives you that in a visual editor. So then it gives you this kind of emotive feedback that you can actually then make a robot do something physically in the real world, right? That you can build using Lego. It's very exciting for kids. But one of the things that I have found is that there's an awful lot of information out there on the web for enthusiasts and for grown-ups about how to use Lego Mindstorms, but there isn't an awful lot of information for parents. So I think one of the things that I kind of pledged to do, I don't know how well I'm going to be able to do this, is to try to find that information, try and consolidate that information and make it available to people.
Yeah, I think there are in the room tonight a number of what I call tribes from education and from other places. So what's really handy about tonight is I think people are beginning to network and see the other flip side of what people are doing. So there's the parents, there's the teachers, there's the people from industry, there's the freelancers, there's all that kind of thing. It's interesting you talk about being able to construct your own stuff with web stuff. I've been looking at some of the stuff Mozilla have been doing with HTML5, and it seems to me that's almost got further down the road some social implications, because it's not only going to enable us with tags that are not attached to video and audio and media like that. It's going to be free. They're not going to be licenses attached. It's going to be much easier to disaggregate and re-aggregate or remake stuff, media. Yeah. But also the fact that media is going to become far more interactive because of that. And it also has implications, maybe, from what I see of Mozilla, is that how we co-construct or how we construct our roles in society as well. So it's almost a sort of big radical change further down the road in terms of education and learning, because it seems to me that if you have a group of people, and this does succeed, who are very intent on taking control of their own environments and knowing how to take things apart and put things back together again, you're going to have people wanting to do that in the workplace as well.
Well, I think the differentiator for the web as well is that it is truly an open environment, which does not have a single corporate or organizational owner. And it is really unique in that regard, in terms of things that people have built in general, but also in terms of programming environments. So, you know, Mozilla are obviously one of the key actors in the web, but likewise, you've got Microsoft in there, you've got Google in there, you've got Opera Software, you've got Amazon, which has just, you know, announced their browser. And it's not just the browser companies that are part of the web ecosystem. It truly is an ecosystem. So when you talk about building an iPhone app, for instance, that's very cool. A lot of people want to build iPhone apps, but of course there is a commercial motivation that Apple has for getting you, now, which is, you know, it's not saying that it's a bad thing, but there's, you have to remember that there's a commercial motivation that Apple has for wanting people to build iPhone apps, is that they want to sell more iPhones. And you talk about Android apps, similar thing. Google wants people to buy more Android phones. Same for every other kind of platform that's out there. So and if you think about ICT and the way ICT is taught generally to kids, it is around the use of Microsoft applications, or which obviously has a commercial underlying commercial motivation. So the web is the one thing that doesn't do that, right? The web actually is open, and anybody can create a web browser, anybody can create a web content, anybody can create a web server, and that's what differentiates it. So I think it should have a special place when it comes to education about how to build, how to program, how to code.
Yeah, it's a kind of tabula rasa. It's a thing that everyone can write on and draw people together. Thank you so much.
Sure, no problem.